program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Audio Journal. Hello, and welcome to Audio Journal's Radioactive Theater, which presents quality dramas, comedies, and mysteries from or reminiscent of the golden age of radio. This program consists of two plays, Princess O'Hara and Lady for a Day, based on stories by Damon Runyon and aired on the Damon Runyon Theater in the 1930s and 40s. His short stories are the basis for the Broadway musical Guys and Dolls. Most stories take place in New York, in the five blocks either side of 50th Street, bookended by 10th Avenue to the west and Park Avenue to the east. It is essentially a poor man's world of gamblers, dreamers, gangsters, and hustlers. Runyon's characters famously converse in Runyonese. A critic once wrote, "It is a lingo invented to convey the simultaneous workings of a slow brain and a speedy tongue." Most notable is the formal use of the present tense and the phrasing of dialogue unique to Damon Runyon characters like Dave the Dude and Rusty Charlie. One of his most famous, Princess O'Hara. And here to tell it to you is Broadway.
I guess nobody who is not a patron of Broadway ever hears of Princess O'Hara. But there are quite a few citizens along the stem who do remember. I'm among said citizens. Indeed, I will lay more than a little 6 to 5 that I will not likely forget, because it is because of Princess and a racehorse named Gallant Godfrey that I almost put my checks back into the rack before the appointed time for my demise. It is Princess O'Hara and a racehorse named Gallant Godfrey who almost occasioned my early departure from this earth. Now, the princess is not really a princess. She just gets that name because of her father, who drives a hansom cab in the vicinity of Central Park. We call him King O'Hara, and he is not really a king either. How he gets the name of king happens one night, maybe 6 or 7 years ago, when 2 or 3 of us were standing in front of Mindy's, just watching the street, and the scene is as follows.
Hey, look, Broadway. Ain't that O'Hara driving up?
Yeah, it is.
It is O'Hara, but look on the seat next to him. Is that a little doll I see?
It is, Mitzi.
Whoa, Benjamin, whoa.
Hello, O'Hara.
Good evening to you, Broadway, and to you, Harry and Mitzi.
Hello, O'Hara.
O'Hara.
And now, you stay on your seat, darling, while your father does a bit of a business. Gentlemen, I trust you three of you are well?
Can't complain, O'Hara. Can't complain.
Good, good. I see you looking at me daughter.
That little doll is your daughter?
Ah, yes, me daughter Maggie.
She is cute, little doll. But why is she on the hansom cab with you?
And why not? It's time Broadway saw the likes of her. This is her vacation from school.
Oh, she goes to school.
Yes. She won't grow up behind a horse like I did and my father before me. No, sir, gentlemen. She'll read and write and do songs like Fine Ladies I Take Through the Park Every Sunday.
That is a laudable ambition, O'Hara. But it seems to me such education requires more than just a little scratch.
Yes, every penny I make goes for her. Her who has the blood of kings in her veins like her father.
Kings? What kings?
Well, ancient kings of Ireland, gentlemen.
You are a king? Where is your crown?
The kings have fallen on evil days.
Look, if you are a king, then your daughter is a princess.
Princess O'Hara.
Hey, that sounds good. Princess O'Hara.
Yes, Princess O'Hara.
Okay, from now on you are King O'Hara, and the doll is Princess O'Hara.
So, that is the way it is. And then it happens King O'Hara falls on even more evil days. In fact, there are no more days for him because he dies. And we do not see his horse Benjamin anymore. There is some talk about what becomes of the princess, but nobody does anything and we forget about it, what with this and that occupying our attention now and then. Then one night, in front of Mindy's, I am standing with Lascaud Louis, the gambler, and the scene is as follows.
As I'm saying, Broadway, Harry has no right.
As you are saying?
Look, Broadway, do you see what I see?
I do not know. Perhaps I am not looking in the same direction.
Ain't that Benjamin and King O'Hara's hansom pulling up?
Yeah, it is.
But may I always draw an inside straight if it ain't a doll in the driver's seat?
It is. And...
And what?
It's the princess.
Princess? What princess?
Princess O'Hara.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Well, well, well. Where has this doll been keeping herself?
She has grown up.
Yeah, she is.
Excuse me, but I'm looking for a gentleman called Broadway.
I am called Broadway.
Oh, I'm so glad. Oh, you don't remember me, do you?
Princess O'Hara.
That's right.
It is easy 7 years ago when I first see you.
I was only 11.
Broadway, I am still here, not having left.
Oh, sure. Princess, this is Lascaud Louis.
Princess, I am happy to kiss your hand.
Oh, go along with that, Blarney.
Princess, you say that you were looking for me?
Yes.
But why?
Dad told me to find you. He said you could help me.
Me? Help you? How?
Well, since Dad died, I've had to earn a living. I can't spend all my life in school. Well, there was just enough money to get me this far.
Oh, you are low on scratch.
What?
Money.
Princess, I will deem it an honor to advance you the loan of some bones.
No, thank you. I'd rather do what my dad did.
Huh? You mean drive a hansom?
Well, why not?
But that is what he does not want you to do.
I'm not afraid. He put me through school doing it. I can support myself doing it. I have a license.
Well, how do you like this?
Princess, what can I do?
Well, Dad said you knew everyone, and maybe you could tell your friends about me?
Sure.
Princess, you have your first customer. 92 times around the park would be all right for a start.
Well, I hope Benjamin will hold out.
That is a very ancient horse.
But wonderful. Dad drove Benjamin all his life.
Well, what are we waiting for? Princess, you are in business.
Well, that is the way it starts. The princess does a roaring business because everybody is anxious to ride with her. The reason being, she is a doll who is A number one in the looks department and in personality. In fact, some of the boys get to know Central Park by heart and can even tell now where the trees are. But none of them ever gets out of line except the Lascaud Louis. But then he is somewhat of a suspicious character. Well, this goes on for some weeks. And then one night, we hear Benjamin the horse is sick and the princess cannot go about her usual rounds. So a group of us, composed of Harry the horse, little Mitzi, and myself, go to the livery stable, and the scene is as follows.
I hope we are not too late.
Horses is very funny. One minute they're all right, and the next day they're running out of the money.
Yes? Oh, Broadway, Mitzi and Harry.
How is he?
Oh, come in, please. Oh, he's very sick. It's colic.
Oh, colic.
Do you have a doctor for him?
Oh, yes, but there's nothing more the vet can do.
He does not look so good.
This is the first time I've ever seen a horse laying down, except for one season in Hialeah, when I see a lot of horses laying down, with my money on them.
Poor old Benjamin.
Maybe he needs a horse specialist. Is there such a thing?
He keeps his eyes closed.
Does he get enough rest and quiet?
Oh, we're doing everything we can for him.
It is tough. What does the doctor say?
Nothing. Just wait.
How long does the doc expect Benjamin will be out of the running?
Maybe 3 weeks or four, until he gets his strength back, if he gets better.
And in the meantime, you'll have no horse to pull the hansom cab.
Oh, I'll get along. I just want Benjamin to get better.
Now, Princess, things are never as bad as they could be sometimes. That looks like a real sick horse. He does not seem to be breathing.
Oh, is he breathing? What, very little.
Princess?
What, Broadway?
What are you going to do?
Oh, I'll get along.
But how?
Oh, I'll find a way.
Maybe we can raise enough scratch to see you through this illness.
No, thank you. Last card Louis offered to help, but I'll get along.
It seems to me what you need is a horse to take Benjamin's place until he is back on his feet.
But where can I find a horse?
There are many horses in the world.
Oh, but they cost money to rent, and I couldn't make expenses if I didn't own Benjamin.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess so.
There is only one thing we can do. Get a horse for you.
Oh, but where and how?
At present, I have no ideas.
You are thinking of something, Harry?
I do not know. Well, Princess, we are going now, but we will drop in again and see the patient.
Oh, thank you, Harry, and Broadway, and Mitzi.
It is practically nothing.
In the meantime, Princess, you will let us know if there is anything we can do.
Oh, of course. Good night.
Well, that is that. We know that the Princess will not accept charity. We are a little mad at Lascaud Louis because we know that his offer is not bona fide. So back at Mindy's, we have a little meeting, which is as follows.
We must get a horse for the princess.
You have any ideas, Mitzi?
Short of buying a horse, I have no ideas.
We do not have enough scratch between us to buy a small pony.
Harry, you say that once before tonight. Does it mean something?
I'm thinking there is more than several horses at Empire City.
The racetrack?
The same.
What if there are?
Well, all of this talk of buying a horse is foolishness when the stalls at Empire City are packed with horses at this time of the year.
Yeah, there are a great many horses there. Yeah.
So let us send a committee up there to borrow one. The princess can use it until Benjamin is back on his feet.
But suppose nobody wishes to lend us a horse?
I do not mean to exactly ask anyone to lend us a horse, Broadway.
Then what are you hinting?
Let us borrow one without asking nobody.
This sounds a little like stealing.
Well, I look at it this way. If we ask one of the horse owners to lend us a horse so the horse can pull a hack, the owner will be offended because he may figure we are insulting the horse.
So let us say nothing whatsoever about it.
This sounds just a little illegal.
What of it?
I do not know what of it.
Then we will borrow a horse. But who will we get to borrow?
Who?
Who?
I have no experience whatsoever in borrowing horses. Once or twice I have borrowed other things, but never a horse.
Well, we will scout around. Sooner or later we will run across somebody who can borrow a horse for us.
But it is not that easy, because it comes out that nobody along Broadway seems to know anything about borrowing a horse. It is really amazing the amount of ignorance there is on Broadway about this. It is two nights later that we are sitting in Mindy's thinking, when little Mitzi gets a bright idea and says as follows.
Hey, I just think of something.
Yeah, what?
Look, this week at the Madison Square Garden, there is a Wild West show.
So there is a Wild West show. We are looking for horses, not Indians.
It is not a Wild West show. It is called a rodeo.
It has got horses in it.
You mean we should borrow a horse from it?
I am not thinking about that. I am thinking of something else.
For example?
Look, when I am a kid, I read about the West, way back in Illinois or Ohio or someplace. They got citizens who put the pinch on horses.
Horse snappers?
That is it.
Mitzi, I do not follow you.
Look, this is a Wild West show. In a Wild West show, they have all kinds of citizens. They probably have somebody who knows about stealing...
Borrowing
horses.
And how do we approach this citizen?
Gently, at first.
And if he does not see the light?
He will see the darkness. We have got to help the princess.
Mitzi, I think that is a good idea. Who will go to the garden?
I will go.
I do not like this. Something is going to happen.
Nevertheless, it is the only way to obtain a horse. I will go to the garden and see somebody.
Have you got a ticket to the show?
Ticket? Ha ha!
Well, comes up the next day and we do not see little Mitzi. And we wonder what happens. Then we get a message that we are all to meet him at the livery stable, so we go to the stable. The princess is not there due to the fact she is elsewhere, which is just as well because we wish to surprise her with the horse. It is late at night, and me and Harry the horse are waiting. Then we hear...
That must be little Mitzi. Yeah, I wonder if he got a horse.
I think if we open the door, we will be able to see.
Sure.
Is the coast clear?
Come on in.
I have got a horse out here.
Bring him in.
Okay.
Mitzi, what are you doing?
How does one make a horse go where one wishes?
I will give you a hand.
That is a horse. A beautiful horse.
Close the door.
Mitzi, I am proud of you. You do it.
It is easy. I go to the Wild West show and I make some inquiries. One of the citizens tells me there is an old guy who used to pinch horses when he is younger.
Go on. What then?
So I find the guy who is wearing leather pants with hair on them. He snatches the horse from Empire City.
Just like that?
Oh, he says it is easy. All he does is walk up, open the stall, here is the horse.
Yeah, here is the horse. Here is the horse.
Harry, why do you say it like that?
Because I take a good look at this horse, and I know who he is.
There is something wrong with him?
Nothing. Nothing at all. Except he happens to be Gallant Godfrey.
Gallant Godfrey?
Yeah, the greatest racehorse in the country. In fact, the greatest racehorse in the world.
Well, that is that. It seems we now have the greatest racehorse in the world. The three of us are looking at each other and back at Gallant Godfrey, who we are wishing is back safe in his stall. Indeed, there is a move to return this borrowed horse when the princess comes back, just as we are about to leave, and the scene is as follows.
Boys, you have... Oh, where did you get him?
To tell the truth, princess, we... The horse... will have to be returned.
That is right.
Yes.
Naturally. As soon as Benjamin is better, we will take this one back. Oh, my. He is wonderful. Where did you get him?
We borrowed him.
Oh, I know. But where?
It is a long story, and it is very late.
Oh, this looks like a wonderful horse. He doesn't look as though he was built to pull a hansom.
Maybe his looks are deceiving.
Come on. Help me harness him to the cab.
You are going to harness him? To a cab?
Oh, isn't that why you brought him? Well, isn't it?
Yes.
I guess it is.
Yeah, I guess it is.
Well, then, come on. Please, help me.
A hansom cab.
We will see how he looks.
I wish I know how I will look in a few days.
What?
Nothing. Nothing.
Help me, boys.
He is objecting.
You were going to put blinkers over his eyes.
Oh, sure. There you are.
Hey, look. He looks like a different horse with those things on.
Yeah, he does not look like the same horse at all.
I do not think anybody will recognize him.
Broadway, I think you are right.
Oh, he is wonderful. Beautiful. Almost as beautiful as old Benjamin.
Princess, any similarity between this horse and Benjamin is very lucky for us.
Why do you say that?
Well, because we are very glad the horse fits the harness.
I'll tell you what. Let's all get in and go for a ride.
With him?
Why not?
Princess, we are due someplace else any minute.
Well, I'll take you.
I will walk.
My doctor says I need exercise.
Oh, please. Boys, please go for a ride. I want to try him out.
Boys, let us face the music. We are going for a ride.
Naturally, We think this is our last ride any place because we are sure Gallant Godfrey will be recognized. But he is not. Nobody thinks of looking for a racehorse in front of a hansom cab. And so it goes for 3 days. Meantime, Harry noses around and finds out that Gallant Godfrey's owners do not wish to make the loss public, as they figure Godfrey just wanders from his stall. And because he is due for some big races later, they do not wish to alarm those who want to place bets on him. Now, it so happens, about a week later, I am standing in front of Mindy's, talking to Lascod Louie, when the princess drives up, and the scene is as follows.
Well, well, well! The princess!
Hello! Hi, Broadway!
Good afternoon, princess. How is the hansom cab business?
Oh, just fine. There's just one thing wrong.
Wrong? What is wrong?
The horse you let me always wants to gallop.
That's so. Oh, that is a very nice-looking horse. You know, I think I have seen him someplace before.
Well, sure. He is around a lot with the princess.
That head. Princess, where did you get this horse?
Oh, the boys borrowed him for me.
Is that so?
Mm-hmm.
Where from?
From the rodeo, at the garden.
At the rodeo, I have never seen a bronc like this. This horse looks very familiar.
Maybe because you are acquainted with many horses, and one horse often looks like another, especially since they are all horses.
Broadway, Princess, get back in the hansom.
What's the matter?
Get on the seat, Princess. Broadway, inside the cab, fast.
What for?
Never mind, get in. Okay, Princess, get going.
Where?
Central Park. Get all you can out of this horse.
I do not care for a ride.
Shut up. Princess, get moving.
Louie, what is the idea?
Behind us.
I see nothing but a big black automobile.
Sure. And inside that big black automobile are Big Eddie and Spanish John.
Huh?
They're after me. They claim I drew one too many last cards in the game last night.
I want out of this.
Stay right where you are. They might not shoot if you were with me.
If I know Spanish John and Big Eddie, and I do, they would shoot into a Sunday school picnic if they were in the mood. And I feel they're in such a mood.
Faster, Princess, faster.
But we are in a full gallop now.
Oh, this is a wonderful horse. We're passing all the traffic.
I will open my eyes and look after a while.
Turn in the park, Princess. Do the transverse.
They will catch us in the tunnel.
It is our only chance.
Are they gaining?
We're holding our own. Once we're through the park, I can duck into one of the apartment buildings.
Like I said before, they are in the right mood. Those were shots.
We got to make it. Faster, Princess.
He got the bit between his teeth.
If he likes it, let him have it.
Come on, Gallant Godfrey.
Gallant Godfrey? Broadway, what did you say?
I am in no mood for chit-chat. They are gaining. Louie, look back.
Princess, when you get to the transverse, turn left.
We'll be going on a one-way street.
Sure. Then we'll cut across the lawn back around.
My last day on Earth, and I spend it back behind a horse.
We were almost to the transverse.
I will spend the rest of my life indoors if I have any more life coming.
Now, Princess, now. Turn him. Turn him.
What happens?
They cracked up. They cannot turn into the one-way street.
Is it all over?
All over. I think Big Eddie and Spanish John are out of their mood.
Are they dead?
I do not think so. But Broadway, do I hear you say the name Gallant Godfrey?
Gallant Godfrey? What's that?
Nothing, Princess. Nothing at all. This is a very wonderful horse. He saved my life.
Louie, what are you going to do?
Broadway, I have not yet made up my mind, but when I do it, it will be something real nice.
Well, I do not like the way Lascod Louie says that. But I am in no condition to offer argument because I find I cannot move due to the previous excitement. However, the payoff does not come until several days later. I am sitting in Mindy's. I am wondering what Lascod Louie's trick is going to be when I am joined by Harry the Horse and Little Mitzi. And the scene is as follows.
Hello, Broadway.
Harry, how are you?
Broadway, I am glad to see you.
Yeah, I'm glad to see you.
You know, Broadway, we are wondering who it was who tips Louie that the horse is Gallant Godfrey.
Yeah, it puts us in a bad hole.
Now, look, boys, I can explain.
It is all right, Broadway.
Everything is fine.
Fine? How?
Here comes the princess.
Hello, princess.
Hello, boys.
Sit down, princess.
Thanks. Oh, wasn't it wonderful what last card Louie did?
Wonderful.
I can take the money and go back to school, like Dad wanted me to.
School? Money?
Don't you know, Broadway?
I am in the dark, and maybe it is better this way.
Last card Louie bought my horse for $1,000. And then he gave the horse right back to me, so I can have someone else drive the hansom, and I can go back to school.
Oh, it is wonderful. There are so many wonderful people in the world.
The world is filled with sweetness and light. It is a little hard to make people see the light, but it can be done.
Princess, we have a little business to talk over, so if you will wait for us, we will be right out.
Oh, all right. Don't be too long, because we want to take our last ride together before I go away to school.
Ain't it wonderful?
It is.
What is?
Last card Louie knows the horse is Gallant Godfrey.
But he does not know that Harry and me knows.
So he gives me $1,000 to buy the horse.
Princess O'Hara's horse.
Gallant Godfrey?
The princess does not own Gallant Godfrey. She owns Benjamin.
And Louie buys Benjamin?
He thinks he is getting Gallant Godfrey because he reads there is a reward for the horse. $10,000. So he figures to keep quiet and make a little scratch quick.
And he gets a bill of sale for Benjamin.
A horse that is no good to him. So we persuade him to give Benjamin back to the princess.
You persuaded him?
Well, we talked to him.
We tell him Big Eddie and Spanish John will be out of the hospital soon, and this town is not healthy for him in that event.
So he goes away.
I think he will stay away.
Then everything is all right.
Certainly.
Particularly since Harry and me returned the horse we borrowed.
And there is no questions asked. It seems they are very glad to get Gallant Godfrey back.
And we are very glad to get the reward money.
Well, well, well.
It is like I always say, honesty is the best policy.
Our second play is Lady for a Day, based on Runyon's short story, Madame Le Gimp, later adapted for film and radio as Lady for a Day. It was made into the film Pocketful of Miracles in 1961, starring Betty Davis and Glenn Ford. Once again, to tell it to you, here is Broadway.
One night, I am standing at the corner of 50th and Broadway, just minding my own business, when along comes Dave the Dude in a taxi. He spots me, and the next thing I know, I am in the cab with him and headed for some place. Naturally, I could refuse to go with him, but nobody ever refuses Dave anything unless they wish his Sunday punch. So, there I am, started on one of the craziest things that ever happens on Broadway. Dave the Dude gets me in the cab with him. We drive clear to the east side to a row of knocked-out tenements. Now, it is very puzzling to me why Dave is taking me here, but he says nothing until we get out and walk up 1,900 flights of stairs. While we're climbing up, Dave says,
"It's on the top floor."
"What is, and why?" "We should hit snow pretty soon."
"You know Annie."
"Sure, the old doll that hangs around the theaters selling two-day-old newspapers and tied flowers from the Undertaker pile." "So what?"
"We're gonna see it."
"Oh, I see. That explains everything."
"Here we are. This is it."
"If she is not at home after we climb this mountain..."
"She's home, all right. I brought her back from the hospital."
"Hospital?"
"Yeah, she tries to knock herself off last night. And I wish to see why."
"Maybe she tries it again? There is no answer to your knock."
"Come on. Annie. Hey, Annie."
"Where is the light?"
There's a gas jet right there. Light it."
"Yes, this is real old-fashioned. Look, Dave, there she is."
"Annie. Hey, Annie."
She's sleeping with her eyes open.
Maybe she... Hey, Annie!
Huh?
Annie, look, it's Dave. Dave and Broadway.
Oh, Dave, Broadway?
You scared us for a minute.
What is the idea?
Please, please go away. Let me alone.
We're going to help you. Broadway and me, you get that. We're here to help you.
Nobody can help me. Nobody. Now, will you please go away? Go away.
That is no way to speak to anybody that comes all this way. Annie, take it easy.
I'm sorry. You're very nice people. They should have let me die. They should have just let me die.
Dave?
Yeah.
I think it is better if we just sit down and let her get this cry over. Until she does, we are going to get nothing out of her.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Okay, we wait.
So we sit there for half an hour while Annie pours out the moisture. Then she clears up. We ask a couple of questions, and what she tells us is this.
Dave, hand me that big envelope.
This one?
Yeah. Look at this photograph.
This is a real classy-looking young doll.
Doesn't look much like her mother, does she?
How do we know? We never see her mother.
You're looking at her right now.
You?
Me.
What are you giving us?
I don't blame you for not believing it. That's my daughter, Louise.
Louise, huh? Okay. Maybe you'd better do some more talking.
She was raised in Spain, where I came from. I haven't seen her since she was a little baby.
Why not?
Why not? I wanted her to be a lady. I took all the money I had in the world and sent her to Spain. That was 15 years ago.
You with money?
Here, look at these. They're a little faded, but you'll get the idea.
But these photographs look like you.
They are. I was a dancer then. The toast of Broadway. You can't say anything, can you? I don't blame you. It's a pretty long way from those to this.
What happens to you?
You can see the whole thing for 15 cents in any old night flop movie. Make a million, spend a million. The only trouble is the years don't wait for you to keep counting on tomorrow. Always tomorrow.
Yeah, I see. But last night you tried to knock yourself off.
Yeah. Why, Annie? You hold out for all these years. Then suddenly you try to put your lights out.
Louise is coming here.
So? After 15 years you see her. Why try to...
After 15 years she sees me. Me. Take a good look, Broadway. Dave. What do you see? Uh-huh. That's what I thought. And she's going to be married. Married to the son of one of the oldest families in Spain.
Swell. Then we have a happy ending.
Yeah, sure. Only they're all coming over here to see me. They're on their way now. And when they see me, what are they going to say, huh? What are they going to say? Think they'll let their son marry a girl with such a mother?
There is more talk, and it turns out that Louise thinks her mother is a society doll married to a guy with plenty of potatoes. It seems that when Annie writes to Louise, she uses stationery of a real fancy apartment building called the Marbury. This is because she swipes the stationery when she does odd jobs there, like cleaning up and things. Well, we get her to promise that she will try no more funny business. Then we get outside, and Dave says,
Broadway, what are we going to do?
Do? What is there to do? Seems to me that she's got herself into a jam.
Well, let's get her out of it.
Short of waiting for that boat to come in and knocking off the people she does not want to see her, how do we get her out of this jam?
She says her daughter believes she is a society doll who lives at the Marbury.
So?
Also, she tells Louise she has got a wealthy husband.
She exaggerates more than somewhat.
Aha!
You solved the whole problem. Good night, Dave.
Now, wait a minute. I'm getting an idea.
You are? What?
Do you know Judge Henry G. Blake?
I do. Furthermore, he is no judge and never is.
He looks like one. In fact, he looks like a wealthy husband should look, doesn't he?
Well, sure. He wears a wing collar and stuff. So what?
He is going to be Annie's husband.
The judge will break away from the starting gate if you tell him that.
Tell him anyway. I have him on my books for a grand. I will cancel the bet.
What? But the rest of the story, the Marbury.
I have connections. Now, look, you locate Judge Henry G. Blake and tell him I want to see him.
Where will I find him?
The chances are 10 to 1. You will find him at Durrell's billiard parlor putting the trim to a sucker.
Ah, good shot, my man. Good shot.
Hello, Judge.
Ah, good evening, Broadway. 9 ball, corner pocket.
Judge, I have got to talk to you.
Not now. I'm busy. Beat it.
Dave, the dude sends me.
I cannot.
Hey, rack him up here.
Dave, I am temporarily out of funds. Tell him.
He will cancel the grand you owe him.
Cancel? He'll cancel it? I have the sucker lined up for a killing, but since it's for Dave, I'll be back in a minute, my good man. Now, what's this all about, Broadway?
I think you better sit down first, Judge.
Why? Is something wrong?
Not yet.
So, my dear Broadway, will you please come to the point?
Sure. You know Annie.
That old,
How would you like to be married to her?
Married to... But... You're insane.
Dave, the dude, wishes it. Annie is very important to him.
This is extortion. I'll see a lawyer.
I do not think you will get that far.
No. Anything but that. Tell Dave I'll get him the money. I'll go to work.
At what?
I don't love the woman. In fact, my feelings are just the opposite.
Look, Judge, all you have to do is be her husband for a couple of days. Just make believe.
Even the thought of that appalls me. Broadway, look at me. I'm an educated man. I'm sensitive, cultured. My feelings must be considered.
I think Dave the Dude will consider them, Judge, and maybe you will not like it.
But I... The point is well taken. All right, Broadway. Please explain, but gently. I'm a very nervous man.
The little talk ends up with the judge agreeing to the proposition. What else is there for him to do? Then we go back to see Dave the Dude. He's at his place with Annie when the judge and I walk in, and the scene is as follows.
Broadway tells you what the pitch is, Judge?
Yes. I'm thoroughly acquainted with the situation.
Good. You know Annie.
Yes. How do you do, madam?
Dave, I want to go home. I want to get out of here.
Why?
Why do you think... It'll never work, not in a million years.
I think she has a point there, Dave. It's been nice seeing you, madam.
Sit down.
All right, Dave.
Now you listen to me. That boat gets in day after tomorrow. You got that long to get used to the idea.
Well, such short notice.
He's right, Dave. Look at me. Take a good look at me. What chance have I got?
The one we'll give you.
It's no good, I tell you.
You want Louise to marry this citizen you tell us about?
I want her to be happy.
Okay, but if she gets here with her ever-loving in-laws-to-be and they lamp you, what happens?
Don't, Dave. Please, don't.
Take it easy, Dave, huh?
Well, I didn't mean to hit you over the head, Annie.
May I have a drink?
No.
But if I'm going to be her husband,
Not a drop until this is over with, and that's that.
When I was a small boy, I wanted to be a sailor. I certainly miss the ocean now.
Well, well. Hello?
Billy, come on in, baby. Judge, you know my wife.
How do you do?
What's eating him?
Nothing yet. Billy, this here is Annie. I told you about her.
Uh-huh. Wow.
Billy, Broadway, come in the next room with me. Judge, you talk to Annie.
What about?
Your honeymoon, you dope. Come on, Billy, Broadway.
Dave, when you told me about her, I didn't expect what I saw.
She is no rose geranium.
That is beside the point. Billy, are you able to do anything with her?
Sure, but I'll get arrested.
Don't be funny.
Funny? You're the hysterical one.
Get her fixed up.
How?
Beauty parlors?
There ain't enough of them in town.
Try it.
She takes 15 years getting like that, and you give me 2 days to make her over?
Look, Billy, she's a poor old doll with nothing in the world but that kid of hers.
What do you care? What's your stake?
Me?
Yeah, you.
That's funny. Never thought about it. Guess I ain't got any stake.
Not that anybody can see.
Huh?
You're a nice guy, Dave.
You let that get out on the stem and I'll cook you.
Sure.
Okay, Dave, for you. But brother, I don't promise any Cinderella from that cinder.
With that, we break up. Billy takes over Annie. I take over Judge Blake with orders to keep him in line. Personally, I think the whole thing is going to be a bust. There are just 2 days to get ready, and from what I see of Annie, we need 2 years. Nevertheless, we go through with it, and what happens when we do is something for the books. Well, it is finally the morning when the boat is due to arrive. I do not see Annie because I am too busy steering the judge along the right trail. Then we get a call to go to the Marbury Apartments. The judge reaches for some courage, and I slap his hand, and we are off. And at the Marbury, Dave lets us in the apartment.
Well, how do you like it?
Oh, boy. This is a classy joint.
Where is my, wife?
Be here in a minute, Judge. Billy's bringing her.
Dave, on whom do you put the chill for this place?
The guy who lives here lends it to me. He is away for the summer. Who is it?
This is the right place, Dave. Is that you?
Sure, come on in.
Okay, get ready.
Billy, what's the idea of stalling like that?
Ta-da!
Ah!
Hey, look at that!
Well, close your mouth. You all look like something from the aquarium.
Billy, what do you do to her?
I spend so much time in beauty parlors, I feel like a curler. Well, don't stand there. Say something.
She's like a cockroach that turns into a butterfly.
This is impossible. Broadway, I didn't have a drink, did I?
Not a drop.
Hello, Judge. Broadway, won't you sit down?
Oh, at this point, it is not so much a choice as a necessity. Thank you.
Billy, you are a genius.
Uh-huh. What you're looking at was there all the time, just covered up.
Madam, may I offer you a chair?
Thank you, Judge.
Henry. The name is Henry.
Look, we got a half an hour to get down to the pier.
Yeah, we got to get moving.
I can't go. No, I can't go.
What?
Annie, you got to go.
I'm scared, Broadway. Dave, I'm scared. I know something will happen to ruin everything. Please, before it's too late, let's stop this.
Honey, believe me, you've got nothing to be scared of now.
How will I act? What'll I say and do?
Madam, if you will permit me to offer my arm, we shall face this thing together. Shall we go?
I personally do not go to the pier, but they tell me later that the meeting between Annie and her baby is very effective indeed, and the judge does himself proud. Although there is talk that he takes advantage of numerous small excuses to kiss Louise, who is a very good-looking young doll. The thing goes off real good because Louise's future in-laws speak no English and only Annie speaks Spanish. Everybody gets back to the Marbury with everything nice and rosy. It begins to look like a cinch, but Dave does not leave it to that. He says he is going to throw a big reception with a lot of celebrities to show the in-laws to be what a big shot Annie is. Where he is going to get these celebrities, I do not know, and I do not like the idea. But Dave tells me to show up at 9, and I am Johnny at the rat hole on the dot. I hear the party going on, and after I knock at the door, it is opened by Dave.
Aha! I was a little worried you wouldn't show, Your Honor.
My Honor? I bring somebody with me?
Shut up. Ladies and gentlemen, may I present His Honor the Mayor of New York?
Dave, do you go off your rocker?
Look, we're going to have celebrities.
I am not the mayor. I never run for mayor. I do not think I am the people's choice.
But tonight you are. We got to convince these in-laws that Annie is a gold-plated mother-in-law for their son.
Dave, this is dangerous. What if they find out different?
You worry too much. I will introduce you to the in-laws later. Meantime, go over to talk to Harry the Horn.
Sure. I will sit real close to a window. Hello, Harry. Hey, Harry.
Who are you?
Me? Who do you think I am? Remember me?
Who are you tonight?
Oh, the mayor.
Huh. I am one up on you. I am the governor. Dave makes me enter politics real sudden.
Oh, no. You are the governor?
Ladies and gentlemen, the Vice President of the United States.
Vice President? Is that little Mitchy?
And look who comes in after him.
And the police commissioner of the city of New York.
Police commissioner? Harry, that is none other than Wild William Wilkins, who is now wanted in 48 states. And if we had 49, it would be included.
Broadway?
What?
I wonder if I stay in line, could I really get to be the governor?
Well, in 2 hours, the apartment has more celebrities than any place in the world. And I admit that things go pretty good. There are a couple of disturbances, like when somebody spots the police commissioner rolling a pair of phony dice in a friendly crap game. And 2.45s fall out of the vice president's waistband. Then, it is coming on about 1 a.m, and the party is almost over. I am sitting by Annie and the judge, and the scene is as follows.
Yes, I do think it was fun.
It's been so wonderful. You've all been so wonderful.
Oh, tut-tut, my dear. It's been a great pleasure.
Sure. We are glad to do it for you, Annie.
Sure. And it looks like everything is fine with your baby and the young guy.
She'll go back to Spain with him, believing I'm what you've all made me for 2 days.
My dear, we made nothing of you that wasn't already there. I kiss your hand.
Hey, he is.
Please, Henry, don't.
But you're very lovely. Very lovely.
You know, she is at that.
I want to tell you something. If I can, I am going to be different. Do you think I can?
I'm sure of it. As for myself, well, I've wasted a good many years, too. You know, I wonder if we...
Hey, why is everybody so quiet all of a sudden?
Look, coming in the door.
Harrigan, Lieutenant Harrigan, and a squad of gendarmes.
Oh, no, no.
No, it can't happen now. It just can't.
It is.
Well, well, well. I've never seen anything like this outside of visiting day at Sing Sing.
Harrigan, how did you get in here?
My badge. It gets me in places. Mitzi, stand still. You too, Wilkins.
Harrigan, lay off, will you? Lay off for the night.
Yeah, sure, huh. I thought I was getting a phony tip about you citizens, but it looks like it was on the level.
Harrigan, you do not understand.
You're right. I don't. But that does not bother me in the least.
My dear Lieutenant.
All in the big time, aren't you, Judge? Pool tables are more in your line.
Harrigan, shut up.
Take it easy, Judge.
Let go, Big Broadway.
Judge, beat it.
No, I won't leave.
Okay, stay. Now somebody explain what's going on. I said explain. What's the pitch? What banks are going to get knocked over tomorrow? From the looks of this crowd, I'd say the United States Mint was in for a bad time. Now start talking. Start talking or I'll jug every one of you. Most of you would have a tough time beating any rap. Okay, let's all go for a ride.
No, wait, Lieutenant.
Annie, sit down.
Annie, get back. It's okay. Don't say a word.
I want to.
Who are you?
You know me. Take a better look.
Annie? No, this is silly.
Yes, Annie.
Annie, think of what you're doing.
I am. Maybe I knew all along that this wouldn't work. Maybe I knew something had to happen.
Will you tell me what all this is about?
Yes, this is a party for me and my daughter and her fiancé.
Your what? And her who?
My daughter, yes. I have a daughter, Lieutenant. That's her. Looking at me now. Looking at me. She speaks very little English, Lieutenant, but she'll understand enough of this to know what I really am and those other people. They're the mother and father of the boy she was going to marry.
Cut it out before it's too late, Annie.
It is too late, Dave. Lieutenant, all these people here tonight came because of me.
Annie tells the whole thing. Louise is looking at her, and I know by her face that she gets quite a bit of what goes on. And the young guy does, too. But his mother and father do not know one word. They just sit and look more than somewhat puzzled. Then Annie finishes.
Now, Lieutenant, you've got the whole story.
Is this on the level?
Take my word for it, Harrigan.
Yours is the only one I would take, Broadway.
What happens now, Harrigan?
Well, Dave, I get all the good assignments. One more like this and I'll turn in my shield.
Lieutenant, what does that mean?
Well, to make this look good, you'd better introduce me to the folks.
Sure, sure. As what?
You've got just about all the big names taken. Make me any celebrity.
Sure. Come on over. Senor, senora, I have the honor to present a great celebrity. Lieutenant Harrigan, New York Police Force.
And that is that. The party is over, but not the story. The next day, Harry the Horse, Little Mitzi, Angie the Ox, and several others, and Mia sitting in Mindy's, when in walks Dave the Dude and sits down. He says as follows.
Well, it is all over, boys.
What happens, Dave?
They are married. They eloped. The young guy is nuts about Louise and does not care who her mother is. His mother and father know from nothing.
Well, well. That is real nice.
Also, the judge and Annie are married.
Well, that is much better than real nice. So everything is settled.
Not quite. Not quite settled.
Huh? What do you mean, Dave?
I have here a list of some things.
A list?
Of what?
If every single article listed here is not kicked back to the owners of the different joints in the mob area they were taken from by next Tuesday night, I will bust a lot of noses around this town. Everything must be returned. Especially the baby grand piano that is removed from apartment 9D.
Enjoyed Radioactive Theater's production of Princess O'Hara and Lady for a Day, featuring Tom Hurley, Peter Russo, Tim Elms, John Goodale, Jim Douglas, Julie Standrovich, Lorraine Mason, Jeff Van Amberg, and Catherine Thornton, and produced and directed by Julie Standrovich and Catherine Thornton, the sound editor, John McManaman. Archived editions of Radioactive Theater are available on our website, audiojournal.org, or go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone, iPad, or Android device. Tune in again next time for Radioactive Theater, a production of Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network.
Do you know Flat Louie?
Who?
Flat Louie.
I know Fat Louie. I don't know any Flat Louie.
Well, you do now.
What?
If you knew Fat Louie, you now know Flat Louie.
Well, what happened? He get run over?
That's about the size of it.
For Louie to get flat, they'd have to use a steamroller.
That's what they used.
No, come on.
I'm telling you the truth.
Come on, even Fat Louie can outwaddle a steamroller.
He almost did.
Who'd want to flatten Fat Louie?
Louie was a mouthpiece for the mob.
Come on, Fat Louie was an ambulance chaser.
He did small jobs for the mob.
Small mob jobs?
Yeah, hoodlums, underlings, they get caught in hijacking. Fat Louie would get them off.
He must have made somebody unhappy.
It's not just the mob, it's the mobs. The Italians, the Greeks, the Colombians, the Puerto Ricans.
So there's lots of mobs, so?
So you make one happy, it makes another one unhappy.
And that happened to Fat Louie.
Flat Louie.
Right, right. So they don't know who done it to Louie?
You know Big Bruno?
Bruno the Fixer?
No. Bruno the Big Bambuno.
Oh, you mean Bruno the Breaker.
That's him.
So is him who done it.
It is believed that Bruno the Bambuno was driving the steamroller.
Yeah, I can see him sitting up there grinning.
Steamrollers ain't no joke.
So what'd Louie do? Leave an imprint?
A big imprint in soft asphalt.
Did you see Louie?
I saw a picture.
Oh, yeah?
I got it right here in my BlackBerry. See?
Wow. That's what I'd call flat.
He looks like a gingerbread cookie.
Did you see this? Louie was carrying his briefcase.
He always had a fat briefcase.
They flattened that, too.
That Bruno, he's bad.
Louie's like a silhouette.
He's a shadow of his former self.
I didn't know you could get that flat.
Yeah, he's certainly smooth with the assholes.
Well, here's to Fat Louie.
Flat Louie.
To Flat Louie.
Once fat,
now, flat.
Is that yous?
I think it's yous.
It's mine. Yeah, what? What? What do you mean, damaged goods?
That's mine. Hello?
So if I've been around the block a few times, so what?
Yeah, it started with this guy we call the professor.
Yeah, well, I had my problems. I mean, who don't?
So he says to me, one day you're gonna pay, punko.
Hello? Yeah, well, they used to say that about Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah.
So he says, punks like you, you think you'll always keep going your way.
What?
Well, I got news for you, punko.
Okay, I was like 19 years old, living in a hotel hell. Damaged goods? On Skid Row. I mean, like I'm a bruised pear or something?
I know. So he says, you think you can have it all, but when the time comes, it's time to pay up, like it or not.
It stunk of mold and fried chicken, but worse than that smell. What? And the stained rooms.
Yeah.
And the peeling wallpaper and the dripping faucet and the roaches.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm no bruised pear. I mean, I don't mind being called a peach. Was the devil woman. But I'm no pear.
So I says to him, when the time comes to pay.
Yeah.
I'll pay.
She wore those tight dresses with stain marks under the arms.
Yeah.
She didn't shave there. She had these thick, long hairs growing out of there. What do you mean, why not a pear? Because pears are like guys. When they start to go bad, they go bad from the inside out.
So the professor says when it's time to pay, nobody's pockets is deep enough. I'll tell you that, Funko.
And if I met her on the stairs and said hello... Oh, yeah? She'd just give me this look like who the yuck are you?
Well, there's guys that look good on the outside, but on the inside, they're rotten to the core.
So I said, you talking about St. Peter at the Golden Gate? And he says, don't kid yourself, punko. You ain't seeing no saints where you're going.
No? Yeah, I figured maybe she's a gypsy.
Nobody calls me damaged goods.
She sweated all the time. She always seemed hot.
Okay, nobody calls me damaged goods and gets away with it. I'll tell you that.
I mean, I couldn't sleep at night. I was just thinking about her.
So I says, maybe I'll get lucky. And he says, I bet you will.
Uh-huh.
And he says, you know what? He says, your luck always runs out.
Yeah, sure.
I mean...
I'll talk to you later.
As disgusting as she was...
Bye.
There was something about her.
I know. Sometimes that's the way it goes.
That hot...
Bye.
Moist, smelly, hairy body of hers that just turned me on and was... Yeah, okay. So long. What? What are you two looking at?
Nothing.
Not a thing.
Okay. Hey, cut it out. What's the idea? I wasn't listening. All right. From now on, that's it. That's it. I crossed the street and I just stepped up onto the curb and there's this guy standing there and he's pointing across the street and he says, hamburgers, potatoes, and meatballs.
He said that to you?
No, he was talking to himself.
Maybe he had an invisible friend.
He was a big guy and when I walked around him, I saw he was talking to this little guy. I mean, a guy that's maybe 3 feet high.
3 feet? Come on.
Well, okay, maybe four.
That's almost invisible.
Anyway, the little guy is waving a big cigar, and he looks up at me, and he says, hey, you! And so I stop, and the little guy says, did you just come out of there?
Out of where?
That's what I said, out of where. And he says, that joint over there. And he points with his cigar at the restaurant across the street. And I said, no, I was two doors down at the cleaners.
Is that the cleaners with the bookie joint in the back?
Yeah, that's the one.
So is that what they mean?
About what?
Being taken to the cleaners?
That's the place.
So, anyway, the little guy with the big cigar says to me, yeah, the read over there.
The restaurant?
Right. So I said, yeah, maybe once or twice. And he says, what do they got? And the big guy, who has been silent all this time, says, hamburgers, potatoes, and meatballs.
And?
I thought it sounded kind of poetic.
Hamburgers, potatoes, and meatballs?
Yeah.
That's the story?
Yeah.
That's no story.
I just told it.
A story has got to say something. It's got to do something.
Says who?
I don't know. Probably the Greeks. You know, Plato.
What did Plato ever say about hamburgers, potatoes, and meatballs?
I once bet on a horse named Plato.
But not potato.
You don't want to bet on a horse named hamburger.
That is not a good bet.
What about meatballs?
I'd never bet on a meatball.
Me neither.
Yeah, no sure bets in life.
Yeah, except that one day, it's all gonna end.
See? I told you. Just like a good story.
I'll give you that.
I'll take it.
Cheers.